Welcome to the January edition of the 72 Show. We'll be discussing the FA Cup third round, and we've got two guests on. We've got former England goalkeeper Tim Flowers and Eric Lehigh's wife, Catherine.
That goal has shut out the outside noise.
What a goal! Yay, top corner,
fully
deserve it.
Oh, Fagnoli, left-footed over the wall, and in off the crossbar!
Gregory stretching, Morrison scores!
United are into the fifth round.
Lincoln City are heading back to the Football League. A dream is realised.
I'm your host, Anthony Kendrick. We'll be joined later in the show by Nick Davey. But first, we'll go to our first interview of the night, and I'm delighted to be joined by former England goalkeeper Tim Flowers. Hi, Tim. Are you well?
Good evening. Yeah, not too bad. Thanks. Got a bit of flu, but I'm all right.
No worries. I hope you get better soon. Thanks for coming on anyway.
Yes, okay, mate. No problem.
First of all, I just want to talk briefly about your career. Made 500 appearances. You played at various clubs, Wolves, Blackburn, Leicester, and also obviously England. What would you say was the biggest achievement of your playing career?
Two outstanding things are probably winning the league and playing for England. I think they'd probably stand out for most people, if I'm honest. 20 years is a long time playing pro football, but a lot of it wasn't in winning teams, to be honest with you. But I was lucky enough to play in a very good Blackburn side that won the Premier League in the 90s, so that was fantastic. And then obviously it's always going to stick in your memory playing for England. So. That would be the two things that stick out for me.
Yeah, in terms of England, is it ever like a disappointment for you? Maybe you didn't get more England caps than you did. There was a lot of the competition. Obviously, David Seaman stands out.
Yeah, not really. I mean, you never think that anything like that will ever happen. Anyway, so I was lucky enough to get 11. Also, got a lot of squads. The Euro '96 was a tremendous time, a fantastic tournament if you're English. And then I went to the World Cup in France 2 years later. So, I was in a lot of squads for a period of time, but I've thoroughly enjoyed being part of that. It's, to get to that level is not easy. And there's obviously a lot of very good English goalkeepers around at the time in the Premier League. So, I felt grateful to have got what I got.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of obviously over your career, you obviously played it with many different players. Who do you think were the best players you played with?
Alan Shearer was the best player I played with, without a shadow of a doubt. He was at Southampton when I first signed there as a young lad. He moved on to Blackburn before I did, just previous to me. He was a fantastic guy. He was arguably the best striker in the world at the time. He was unplayable, but he had everything. He was fantastic in the air. Obviously scored goals by the bucket load, but he could run channels. Basically, if you got him in the team, you got a very, very good chance of winning a football match. So he would definitely be the best player I played with.
Okay. In terms of training, it must have been fun. I presume you had some sort of drills where you had to stop his shots and stuff.
Yeah, we do. You do shooting drills and crossing and finishing at every club. And he was fantastic, fantastic player. He used to come alive when there was a goal at the end of it. So when he was in that Blackburn team in the early 90s or mid 90s, and we were a formidable force. A number of absolute top players, world class players. But he was. I think anyone that played in that team would say that he was an outstanding player, world class.
Mm-hmm. Once you finished playing football, you went into goal. You worked as a goalkeeper coach at a few different clubs. Did you decide early on you wanted to go into coaching once you retired, or did it just sort of happen as you finished?
Well, I retired when I was 36. I didn't necessarily want to retire as a player, but I had hip problem, which ended up being replaced. So obviously that put an end to my playing career. So I had that done within weeks, really, of the last game of the season. I can't remember what year it was, but it was 2000 and 2003, 2004, or something like that anyway. And I hadn't done Norris straight away, so it took a few months to rehabilitate from that. And then I finished my playing career at Leicester, and the manager at the time, Mickey Ellen, said, well, when you're fit and you're able to get around again, come and do the goalkeeping coaching here. So that's how I sort of got into it, really. It was just one of those things where he offered it me, and I hadn't really considered what I was going to do, to be honest with you, but I sort of fell into that, and it developed from there, really. But I enjoy trying to help other goalkeepers or any other footballer, really, that wants to listen and try and help them be as good as they can be.
Mm-hmm. And then now you're currently working at Solihull Moors with Mark Yates, who's the manager.
Yep.
How did you two end up working together? Did you know each other beforehand, or?
Well, Mark was a manager at Cheltenham, and I've had a number of coaching jobs since Leicester. And at the time, I was doing three different clubs in a week. I was doing Northampton Town, Kidderminster, and Cheltenham a day. I think it was a Thursday for Mark. So I had worked with him before, but I think we both went for the interview for the Solihull job, and they sort of liked us both. So they put us together, paired us up a little bit. We had a chat and thought we'd be fine together, and that's worked out, as we thought. It's been terrific. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. And as a sort of future ambition, do you hope to go into management yourself?
Well, I've had a little spell with Stafford quite a while ago. It's something I've since the age of 36, which is 14, almost 15 years ago. I've worked for a lot of very, very good managers and coaches, and also played under a lot. So, it's a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge. I wouldn't write that off at all. But I'm enjoying that with Mark. We've had a response from the players. They've done well, particularly well, really, since we've got in. They've got some results on the board because we were quite a way adrift, and we still are. But we're moving in the right direction, which is pleasing.
Mm-hmm. Just for those who aren't aware, it's their second season in the National League for Solihull Moors.
Yep.
And
yep.
Last weekend, I noticed you picked up a very good point against Macclesfield, who are top of the table, a 0-0 draw.
Yep.
The overall target for the season, is it avoiding relegation? Or?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. In fairness, we almost needed snookers when we went in, so we're not naive at all, the two of us, so we know the job, what it entails, and it's going to be a real tough ask. But I have to say, the players, what we did straight away was change the training from two evenings a week, which started at 8 o'clock, to three mornings, so we're getting a lot more work into the players. They've sort of grasped that opportunity with two hands, really. So we're a little bit fitter, a little bit better prepared, mm-hmm. A little bit more organised because we've got a little bit more time together, and we brought one or two in as well, which has freshened it up. We've got a little bit of extra quality in,
mm-hmm.
thinned the squad out a little bit because it was there was a lot of bodies around, and at the moment it's going well. There seems to be a good atmosphere around the place. They seem to be enjoying the players seem to be enjoying what they're doing, and they're getting some points on the board. So if we could cobble together another, because we just came off the back before Macclesfield, the back-to-back wins against Barrow and Maidenhead, and if we could do that again or even a win and a draw, then it would put us in touch with those that are sort of fifth and sixth bottom, and maybe drag a few back in. But it's a big if, obviously, because it's a tough division, but that's what we're aiming for.
In terms of the players, I know there was quite a few news stories around Sean St. Ledger at the club. He must be an interesting guy to have around in training and that.
Yeah, well, Sean left. He was there when we first went in, and he was sort of getting fit. Sean was, and to be honest with you, we're playing with the back four and the back three, and Liam Daly and a lad on loan from Oxford, Frank Callagher, were playing. Sean, I think, wanted to go and play, quite rightly. He's not you're not going to mess around not playing. Those two were the first choice at the time and still are. So Sean moved on to go and play. I'm not sure where he is at the moment. I heard he's having an meeting with, having a look at him, so I'm not 100% sure where he is. But yeah, top player. He's been a top player, yeah.
And in terms of the National League, at the moment, it's the case that only two teams come out of the Football League and you have to win the league to get promoted. There's a bit of debate about whether that's right. What do you think maybe it should be three up, three down?
Yeah, I do actually. You know, and I've worked in League Two as well with Northampton, so I know it's something that's devastating for a club to come out of the Football League into the non-league pyramid, if you like. But I think that would be fair. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of very, very well organised clubs in the National League, big clubs as well. You know, clubs with there's a few in there that were in the Championship when I was playing. You know, so there's some big fish swimming in that pond, and I think a three up, three down scenario would be fairer. I really do, yeah. But you know, I mean, there's two up, two down from the North and South into the National League. But I would think the top end, I think three deserve to go up, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course, in terms of budgets, it's very different these days. Would you say in terms of the players and the playing ability, the gap is decreasing from, like, you know, say the Championship and the higher up divisions compared to the National League?
Well, listen, what I will say is there's some very, very good players in the non-league, in the National League and the North and the South and below that. I think a lot of clubs are tapping into that now at a higher level. You know, that there are golden nuggets to be found down there. You know, everyone quotes Jamie Vardy, but there's, you know, Lee Gregory, Andre Gray, Aidan Flint. You know, there's many, many more who have been brought out of a non-league situation and really excelled in the pro game. And the National League is a very, very good standard. And, you know, when I look at it historically, the teams that come out and into the League Two, into the Football League, always do well. They hit the ground running. They've got a winning mentality. You know, even look at Lincoln. Lincoln now this season, they're flying in League Two. And to be honest with you, there's very, very little between the standards. Certainly, the top half of the National League and League Two, there's not much in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just something else I'd like to ask is what do you think of the idea of the winter break? I know you as a player, obviously, you would have had to play through it, and it gets talked about a lot in the Premier League, but I think it's something that, you know, lower down, people seem to forget that they're playing a little bit maybe as well, and, you know.
Yeah, no, it's not for me. I'm a bit of a traditionalist, and I think whatever you say about the English game, it's a test, a real test of you physically and mentally, you know, to be able to play on a Saturday, either a bank holiday, Christmas, Easter, you know, and then 24, 48 hours later play again is a real test. You're playing in most weathers. You know, I've always thought over the years that it's a real test. And I just want, you know, the likes of Liverpool when they were ruling world football in the 70s with a squad of about 17 players playing 60 games, 70 games a season. You know, it makes me laugh, really. People are carrying squads of massive squads, you know, and they can rotate when they want with top, top quality. Not for me. I think it's all right as it is. But I'm sure they'll change it at some stage. It changes everything else. So.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think there's two aspects. I think in terms of the playing squads and also, you know, the fact that, you know, a lot of players are working, you know, in other jobs as well as their football, you know, to earn money and, yeah.
Oh, in the non-league, I mean, listen, most of the teams in the National League are full-time anyway, you know, with full-time budgets. And there's one or two. We're obviously not. But we're one of the smaller clubs in the National League. But and there's one or two that do 3 days a week, like we do. But the vast majority are full time, so that, you know, and have the facilities to you know, to cope with that, and you know, decent training facilities, etc. So you know, the North, most of them are, although there are full time clubs in the North even, but most of them are 2 days, two evenings a week. But I think non-league will carry on. I think the Football League, whether that changes or not, I don't know, but I'd prefer to see us continue as we're doing and make it a real physical test.
In terms of your squad, do the players currently, like, did some of the players work, or is this their only job?
Yeah. Not all of them can commit to the three mornings. Most of them can. But there are one or two that have got jobs, teaching, etc. And can't get in, but we supplement that. We've got a fitness guy who has some gym-based work for them, etc. So we have got that scenario, and we knew that when we went in, but we've tried to make it as professional as possible under the circumstances, and the lads have bought into it, to be fair to them. So, and listen, we're not horrible people. We say, well, you can't work, you've got to, you know, either don't work or you can't play for us. So, you know, we'll sort of mould around what people can do, but the vast majority of the lads can make the mornings, whether they work or not. So, and the one or two that don't, then we supplement them in, as I say, in the evenings or whatever. But they're good lads, their attitudes have been fine, so, you know, we haven't had a problem with that at all.
All right, well, thank you for coming on. We've really appreciated your time.
Not at all. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks a lot. Goodbye.
No problem. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
So joining me now as we review all of the FA Cup news, it's Nick Davey.
Good evening.
Are you well, Nick?
Yes, very well, thank you, mate. Very well.
Good stuff. All right. Well, we'll start with the game you were at, if you want. We'll talk about the FA Cup. I know it's not really Football League, but I know you were at the Brighton v Palace game. What did you make of that?
Yeah, no, excellent night. Absolutely excellent night. Really, really enjoyable. Obviously, beating your rivals in the greatest competition in the world. It was an excellent win, excellent performance, and just very, very pleased that we got it done in the end. You know, we made probably more hard work of it than we should have done, not taking the chances. But no, excellent night, and very, very pleased indeed to get into the next round of the FA Cup.
Mm-hmm. And what did you make of the? I know you were at the ground with the VAR. What did you make of that?
Well, I have to say, I mean, it's. So clearly, obviously, done their job well, because obviously, I know it didn't hit. Obviously, there was the bit at the end that we can say it was a controversial goal, but it wasn't, because it clearly never touched the hand, obviously, which the technology obviously clearly proven, but it clearly obviously nowhere near the hand. It was just simply the angle. So, but one thing I think I need to address really is with the VAR technology. It's the distance that you have. I mean, it doesn't really. I think it's quite difficult for the fans in the stadium to really know what's going on. Mm. It was a problem that was obviously discussed before it came in, but I think that's something that we need to sort out, that they can get the fans involved. Obviously, fans, and well, one of them might be a ticket, and obviously, it doesn't. We don't want to sort of disrupt the flow of the goals and everything when they go in. Obviously, it's the one that being a football fan, it's one of the greatest. Moments of your week, sort of, in when you see your team score, and obviously there's a hint of doubt about it. You want to know the decision sort of very promptly. You don't want to wait around for ages while the ref consults with the video technology ref and so. So I think they need to find a way to make the paying audience know what's going on, really.
I think, yeah, no, I agree. I think the difference with football compared to something like rugby or tennis, where you've got all the screens there, which you don't have at most football stadiums to see what's going on. So you can't see all these replays. But also, I did see that they're on about changing the signal that the referee should use, because at the moment he puts his hand to his ear, but they're suggesting doing something else so it's clearer. Like perhaps in rugby, where the referee makes a big TV square with his hands to show that's what he wants, something like that, they suggest.
Sure.
They're using it in a couple of the replays. I saw the Fleetwood-Leicester game and also the Chelsea-Norwich game. They're using VAR, and they've said it will be used in the League Cup as well, I believe.
It was used in the Arsenal-Chelsea game. I know Bristol City can't have it because their ground's not suitable for it, but themselves. I just suspect that's because they're in the Championship. But we'll see. Obviously, the time will tell. Obviously, how and when it will be sort of how better it will be become, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And before we go on to the rest of the FA Cup games, I should give Bristol City a shout out because of their fantastic performance in the first game against Man City. No one really gave them a chance, and very unlucky not to get a draw and a narrow loss. They're definitely not out of it.
No, they're not. No, they did themselves an absolute world of good. And I think they've also, I think them and even Burnley to some extent on Saturday, I think with these cup matches, they've proven that obviously Man City have been, let's not beat about the bush, Man City have been absolutely incredible this season. We haven't seen in England for a long, long time. They've proven that if you go there and have a go, that you've got nothing to lose, really. And Bristol City gave a great account of themselves. And that's the first time, I think, with the giving the penalty away. You haven't seen that in the Premier League this season, with them causing problems, causing the Man City defence to sort of take drastic action like that. So it was full credit to Bristol City for having a go. And I thought they were excellent. Mm-hmm. And it was just, obviously, a goal which was well cast at the end with Aguero. When you've got Aguero and De Bruyne scoring goals, I mean, even the best teams in the world will struggle to cope with them when they're on form. So it was a great effort. And to be fair, you said it set the title not over by any stretch of the imagination. I think Ashton Gate will be absolutely buzzing next week. Oh, sorry, a couple of weeks' time, I beg your pardon. Mm. So I think it'll be an excellent night. And I'm really looking forward to seeing part two of this match, and it's certainly not over. And I think they can get a buzzing out, so they can get an early goal. Then it really is. It would be interesting, but it's certainly not over. Still, certainly chances for us to see it in the cup run.
Yeah, I think the difference is between several other teams who've set up there to defend. Bristol City also had a plan when they got the ball and they attacked very well. But yeah, should be a very, very interesting game, and I'm looking forward to seeing the second leg. Anyway, moving on to the FA Cup, go through some of the big stories. Coventry knocking out the Premier League side Stoke, causing Mark Hughes to get sacked. I know that was debated on the other show, so we won't go into Mark Hughes. But Jack Rimmer scoring the winner, and it was a great strike as well to win the game for Coventry.
No, excellent. It's well, Coventry, I mean, we've obviously over the years been doing this show, it's sort of always been negative stuff about Coventry. Obviously, it's just been with the relegation and everything. I know they had a great day at Wembley last year. But no, it's finally nice to see them well doing well in the league, but also getting a really nice cup run going. Obviously, good money they'll make as well. But no, nice to see them in the headlines for all the right reasons. So, no, an excellent display by them. Obviously, you said we can talk about Stokes and Mark Hughes, but no, excellent from Coventry. And really, really good time. They're in a nice, healthy league position. It will help them, I think. This is where I think cup runs can also help their season. It'll give them more confidence in a very good in their promotion push at League Two. So, no, excellent. And I thought they looked very, very good going forward as well. And given they're up against a pretty strong Stoke team, there's a lot of Stoke players that. It was a very strong Stoke team with all the players they had. So, no, a really, really pleasing performance by Coventry and four credit to Mark Robbins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Coventry sitting third in the league. It's been a great season for them. Also, another League Two team, Newport, who are doing well in the league, but also pulled off the other big story, beating Leeds 2-1. Criticism of Leeds, who made 9 changes for the game.
Yep. And that's when, obviously, there was a lot of criticism after. But I think with Leeds, at the end of the day, I don't really blame them for making that much changes. I think with, obviously, having such a hectic Christmas period, where they are in the league, they obviously, their main priority is to get the most out of the championship into the Premier League. I don't blame them, to be honest. It's a game also, but don't be honest, it's a big upset. You expect whatever, you would sit by the side, you're Leeds United, you're going to expect whatever team you've got to be a two team. You're representing Leeds United, you expect to have talent, so no matter what team they put out, it's still a big, big shock for Newport and Everton. And it's as I say, it's the story for Newport, so to speak, goes on, because as I say, they've been excellent since the start, and it's just another story for Newport, because as I say, they're staying up against the odds last season, so now it's done this cup run, and as I say, they've got a very nice as well, come on to later.
Mm-hmm. And also in that game, Samuel Sy's got a 6-game ban for spitting the evidence on TV. It looked pretty damning of him. It's the second time this season he got accused. He was accused in the Port Vale game earlier in the season, but no charge was given.
Obviously, you saw it last season. If players can't, almost because although it's a somewhat almost a banter thing, not the pitch trying to get in, their opponent's head. I don't know whether it is tactics, player.
there's been a red card as a result.
Mm-hmm. It's a very difficult place as well to go Newport, as you could clearly see from the, you know, the cameras being there and all, and that obviously that probably played a factor, I'd imagine.
Absolutely, it's a proper old school field as well, old school stadium Newport, always. So yeah, no, absolutely.
All right, so moving on to some. Firstly, Nottingham Forest got a huge result over Arsenal, winning 4-2.
They were excellent, weren't they? I watched the game on Sunday. And it's brilliant because obviously managerless, up against a very good Arsenal side with a lot of quality, and to be where they are in the league, it's not going great. To pull off that and to play extremely well, it's just extremely pleasing for them, and an excellent cup upset, and full credit to Nottingham Forest because I thought they were excellent on the day.
And also I see Gary Brazil was in charge on the day and got that result, but Eita Karanka's come in as boss. What do you make of that?
Yeah, very good appointment. Obviously done a great job in the championship, so it's good to see him back. I think he's had a great deal of manager. It's nice to see him back in the negatives. I mean, they're obviously a club that's played extremely, they're a massive football club, but I mean, over the years, I mean, look at COVID, they've really been underachieving. The amount of time they've been manager, I don't agree with them either losing at Wolverton. I think he's an extremely great manager and they've really given him the time. Mm. And I think they just keep chopping and changing managers now. Obviously, we can say Crank is a great manager, but I think clearly the problems are at this football club because they keep employing good managers and nothing seems to be happening there. They've got a very young team, so the success isn't going to come overnight. They will obviously need time to gel, time to get a bit more experience than. So that's why I really disagree with losing Wolverton. But no, I think with Cracker coming in, I just hope it does work out for them. And also Forest, as I keep saying, they're a massive football club, and they should be doing a lot better than they are. But clearly, they've got an uncontrollable chairman. Doesn't really like to have. He wants almost instant success, and that just doesn't happen in Championship until you need someone to come in and get the squad they want. You need the players to know what they want, but they're just not giving managers enough time. You go and look at Bristol City. Lee Johnson was on an appalling run, almost got the sack. They stood by him. They said, "This is the man to take us forward." And now look, they're reaping the rewards massively. Mm-hmm. And I think this Nottingham Forest needs to. Almost take that. They certainly need to take that sort of philosophy. I think the quality that is above them as well in the table, it will be very, very difficult for them to get the playoffs. But I think it's almost what we say every year with Forest. I think they're going to have to see the end of the season, get a good run of form going, and then take it on to next season. But I suspect the Forest fans are probably sick and tired of hearing everyone talking about that because it seems to happen every year.
So, sticking with Nottingham Forest, I'll bring in my second interview of the show. Eric Lehigh got a dog thanks to his two goals in that game. And I'm delighted to be joined by Eric's wife, Catherine Lehigh.
Hello, you okay?
I'm fine, thank you. Yeah, yourself?
Good. Yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, where to begin?
I know, it's been a crazy one,
it's been a crazy week. You must have had a lot of attention from people bigger than us, you know,
a lot of people have been in contact. I don't know whether they're more bothered about speaking to me and Eric or hearing about the dog, really.
Yeah.
The dog's been more famous than I think Eric is. And then you've seen today that Eric's got a contract extension as well.
I hadn't read that, but that's fantastic news.
Yeah, that's happened today. So it's like a lovely ending to what's going on. Really, really good race.
That's fantastic. Do you know if it was anything to do with the new manager? I know Eita Karanka came in, the new manager this week. Do you know if that was anything to do with it or whether it was?
But they were looking to extend Eric anyway. But obviously, I think he's tying it up and wanting to get any loose ends done. So he come in and said, "Let's get it done now." So yeah.
Okay. Cool. I just want to go back to the start, actually, of it all, with the because I know you promised Eric he could have a dog if he scored a hat trick in a game.
Yeah.
Was that?
It was a bit of a like in jest sort of thing, you know what I mean? he was on about a dog completing our family for the last, it could be 3 years now, and I've always said like no, we're too busy, we don't need a dog. la la la. And then as he kept persisting, it was the one time I said, I'll tell you what then, to get your dog, you score the hat trick in a game and I'll get you a dog. Thinking I was, you know, pretty safe, I was never gonna have to go through with it.
Yeah. I guess I guess when he scored twice in the game at the weekend, you must have been nervous when Nottingham Forest got a penalty, because I saw he wanted to
take it, second one, yeah. It was actually David Bourne that Kieran Dell gave the ball to Eric to say, go get your hat trick, and David Bourne took the ball off him and told him basically no, because he wanted to win.
Were the other players aware of this arrangement?
I think they were. He goes on about dogs all the time, because a lot of them have got dogs. He's always looking at pictures of their dogs and asking them questions. So I think he dropped it before, but I don't know whether they actually, at that point thought about it, because obviously when they're in the game, I don't think they were thinking about Eric getting a dog.
Yeah, no, I understand. How many, you must have been getting a lot of tweets and stuff because of the hashtag Get Eric a Dog, and it was trending and...
It went crazy. It was people that weren't even Forest, like the Forest fans, like started it and really pushed it. But then I was looking, and there was someone from Italy, someone from Africa. I don't know how it got to hear about it, because obviously it went, national rather than just around Nottingham. I think Radio 1 put it on, like BT Sport aired it. So there were people, not even from the Nottingham area, saying Get Eric a Dog. It was in its thousands. The tweet. They even had people trying to contact me through like my business page on social media saying, Get Eric a Dog.
It's following you everywhere. Did you get anyone in real life tell you? Or?
Yeah, we went to fill up petrol. I went to get some petrol at the station, and people were going, have you got him a dog yet? Have you got him a dog yet? Shouting, oh my God, no.
You kind of have no choice, though, it'll drag on forever.
Yeah, that's what it was. And obviously up the school, taking the kids to school, a lot of the other parents had heard about it. So of course they were all like, brilliant goal, but now get him a dog. So I had it on the school drop and the pickle.
The dog's been called a Gunner after because of Arsenal. Whose idea was that?
That was a little heads together with Eric and Matt Mills. He gets on with Millsy, and I think they were having a chat, and Millsy's got a couple of dogs, and I think Eric was saying, I'm still on to Cat, I'm still on to her, I think I'm getting somewhere, I'm wearing her down. And I think Millsy was asking him what potential dogs it could be, and they got onto names, and between him and Millsy, they come up with Gunner.
No, it's great. And what kind of dog is Gunner?
It's a French bulldog.
Was that something you wanted, or Eric?
It's a compliment. Eric loved him anyway, but Eric, I always said to Eric, if it ever happens in years to come, it has to be a dog that doesn't shed and is low maintenance and stuff like that. Because obviously, pre-season, if he's gone for a week, I've got to have it. And, walking it with two kids before a school run and whatnot, I always said I wouldn't want a great big massive dog. And I wouldn't want something that I've got to constantly use rough after. So he always said to me, oh, French bulldog, a good little dog, la la la. So yeah, that's why he come as a compromise.
Mm-hmm. And I saw in another interview that there was a discussion about whether a Gunner should be allowed to sleep in the bed. What's your thoughts on that?
See, now this is the problem we have, because obviously it's not that I didn't want him, but you know what I mean? I thought practically it wouldn't work, but now I've got him, I love him, I'm very much like that. I didn't want kids, but I've got two kids and I love them. And now I've got this dog, I treat him like a little baby. And he was crying, on the first night, when obviously it's all different. And then it was like trying to be, Mr. I've read all the books. You have to leave him to cry, la la la. And I was like, I don't want to listen to him crying all night. I was like, let me bring him upstairs, let me put him in bed. And I was like, no, you can't do that. He'll think he's the boss. So we had a compromise there. He stayed in the cage, but I brought his cage into our bedroom. And you know what? He stopped crying straight away, because he just wanted to see that, we were still there. So we've met halfway with that. So he's not out the cage, but the cage did stop in our bedroom. So he stopped crying.
That's fantastic. I've seen Utter Football, those prints, which I saw you've said on Twitter that you've got one. And they're fantastic, I think, as well.
Yeah, they're brilliant, aren't they? They're the guys that are doing the programmes at the moment for Forest. They're doing like the artwork on the Nottingham Forest programmes. And when he scored, obviously, he done a piece to Eric, and someone had tagged me in it saying, have you seen these? And I thought, that is so cool, and it, like, when you're older, just to keep. So I actually went on the site and bought both my girls a t-shirt, me a t-shirt, and a couple of the prints as well. You know, just to keep, like, when you're older, look back and see that. Yeah, I think it's so cool. So the girls have got their little tops, which they'll enjoy wearing.
Can you see them wearing them to the game, maybe?
Yeah, I've got them out. That's so funny you should say that, because I've kept them out. I've got, like, in my house, it's full of washing, so I've got piles of ironing, piles that need to be put away, and then, like, bits that I know I'm going to need, and it's on my chair, because I know I'm going to put them in it.
You can follow at Cat Perco. I guess you don't want people to send you dog pictures or gifts or
no
anything.
More dogs, thank you. But I've got my own to look at now.
Yeah, well, you could send us all plenty of gifts and photos and everything to look at now.
There we go. I'll take loads of selfies of me and my dog now and post them for everyone.
All right. Well, thanks for your time. Appreciate you coming on. All right. Goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Hello, this is Adam Virgo, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
So moving on, I just want to mention another Championship side, Norwich, who got a very creditable 0-0 draw against Chelsea.
Yeah, no, it certainly was, and obviously they didn't really have many chances, Norwich, but no, they defended extremely well, put the effort in, and yeah, fair play, Chelsea couldn't break them down, and obviously they're going to get their chance at the Bridge again, so it'll be a nice evening for the supporters of Norwich, and they had a nice evening at the Emirates this season as well. So no, fair play, and it's good for their good confidence boost for the players, knowing that they can keep a very good Chelsea side at bay as well. Norwich is certainly in a position again, like they're sort of they've still got an eye on the playoffs for sure. So no, they definitely can get the playoffs, and again, this will be a bit of a confidence boost for them. They'll obviously look forward to a nice trip to Chelsea again. So I believe they're 9 points off the playoffs, Norwich. So again, like Forest, you could argue it's a step too far. There's still a lot of football to be played there, and say with a cup run, I know we say all the time it can sort of hinder a league run of form, but I'm a big believer it can also be a massive confidence boost to a season as well.
And quite a lot of other quite a few other nil nils: Mansfield v Cardiff, Wolves, Swansea, Stevenage v Reading, Carlisle, Sheffield Wednesday, and one of the big ones, Shrewsbury drawing 0-0 West Ham with Joe Hart going back. And I saw he borrowed a cap from a fan during the game as well, and he also had a chat with the mascot. It was quite a nice little moment, I thought.
Yeah, I saw that here. Yeah, no, good. And I think Shrewsbury again have just put, obviously it was on the BBC, I think Shrewsbury again just proved what they're all about this season. They've played very, very good brand of football this season, and I thought that was a much better team. And I think West Ham are probably very, very lucky that they're going to be going back to the Olympic Stadium with a replay, because they could have easily lost that game. I thought Shrewsbury were excellent, but yeah. West Ham, fair play, they stuck at it, they dug in deep, and they got the replay. They didn't get the giant killing, and now you have to say West Ham are the clear favourites now for the replay next week.
Yeah, no, Shrewsbury have been fantastic this season, as you say, still sitting second in the league after that great start, particularly. At the top of League One as well is Wigan, who sit top, and they also got a draw. They were probably unlucky. They drew 2-2 with Bournemouth. They maybe could have had a penalty, and also conceded a last-minute equaliser. Perhaps a little bit unlucky, Wigan.
Yeah, I did see that incident. I think it's one of those ones that's a really tough one to debate. And this is where I think the IR technology is almost pointless, because it's always a matter of opinion rather than a matter of fact. Because Wigan assist manager though has a penalty. But I think looking at it, such a tough one. I would say it probably wasn't. I think it's a really tough one. I mean, looking at it again, God knows how many times over there, I thought it wasn't a penalty. I thought there was enough on the ball. I think the lad, the way it went down, made it look worse than it was. I thought the referee got it. Well, it wasn't a dive, don't get me wrong, definitely not a dive.
No.
But I think he got enough of the ball, the Bournemouth defender there. But what we do know, at the end of the day, Bournemouth dug in and got their equaliser, what they do so regularly in the Bournemouth at the end there, and Steve Cook with another goal. It's Wigan's concentration at the end there, where they can sit the game out. League One up against the 20th class. I mean,
we've got the friendly class Bournemouth had if it just was going to tell in the end. But still, they've got a great chance of winning their weekend there. I'm sure they'll get a big crowd there for their replay against Bournemouth. However, they get a bit of noise at the W. They've got a great chance of calling up the second time the last game. But with Bournemouth there, it's a funny one. I mean, that Bournemouth and even less well from 16. These clubs, I mean, Bournemouth not, I mean, maybe a bit more so than Leicester. But you're a Premier League club, you're not going to be in. Why not go full strength for the FA Cup? It's a fantastic, it's one of the biggest competitions in the world, and you've got to really take it seriously. No matter how far you get, if you beat these teams, you've got a great chance of winning that. So it just baffles the mind that teams like Leicester and what have you don't take it a bit more seriously.
Yeah, no, I agree. And yeah, that's a big debate, I suppose, to be having.
With Premier League clubs, especially Chelsea, Arsenal and City, with obviously having the semi-finals of the League Cup this week. Obviously, Tottenham have played a lot of football last week, West Ham. It just really baffles my teams that maybe, like Leicester and like Bournemouth, maybe could have played a weaker player squads last week and then really gone for the Cup this week. But no, it's just an interesting one. So once you win a few games, you're really on the good chance of having success in the FA Cup, especially if the bigger clubs, if they're still in the Champions League, they're obviously going to prioritise that, and the Premier League, if they're in a chance of winning that over the FA Cup, so more chance for the teams like Leicester and what have you to have success in the competition.
Yeah, well, Bristol City as well, they had a much changed team with the League Cup game as they lost 3-0 to Watford, but no one's
going to blame.
Yeah. But, to go back what you were saying about the technology as well, that's a really interesting decision, you know, with the penalties. I suppose, as you said, there's two ways you can look at it. You can look at it, even with all the replays, you're still not sure. But then the other argument, to put it the other way, you could say, well, how the hell is the referee supposed to make a decision based on his first look at it? How the hell do you say penalty or no penalty? I think that's a really great example to show the pros and cons of technology.
Spot on. Yeah, couldn't agree anymore. But then also, it's why football's all about debating. It's why people in the pub on Friday night on Saturday after the game, they're going to want to debate about decisions. Or was it, wasn't it? It's why we love the football. It's why we have these shows. It's why there's football podcasts out there. It's why there's radio debates, what have you. It's why there's punditry. It's all part of the game, football, to debate decisions. So it's... So obviously we can be all night talking about the IR technology, but I'm sure we don't want to. I think you've hit the nail on the head there about the pros and cons there on that big decision in the Wigan game.
Also, should just quickly mention with Wigan, Dan Byrne has won League One Player of the Month. Their centre back, he's
a very good player, Dan Byrne. I've seen him in the Championship a few times when he was out. I think he was at Fulham when he was out on loan at Birmingham and a couple of other clubs. Big unit unit at the back. So you almost think, that's why I said at the start of the season with Wigan, with looking at their squad on paper, Byrne at the back, Will Grigg up front, obviously Nick Powell in the middle. They've got on paper a Championship squad, in my opinion. They're certainly delivering, obviously, top of League One. So, I mean, and it almost went a bit unnoticed. They weren't really mentioned at the start of the season. There was a couple of games in where I started really looking at their squad and thinking, how on earth is it? This is actually a strong... You wouldn't look out of place in the Championship, that squad. So, and you've got players like Dan Byrne, Will Grigg, who are performing, Nick Powell, they're all performing this season, so it's no surprise why they're doing so well. No, full credit to Dan Byrne and Paul Cook, the manager.
Final replay, I just want to mention Fleetwood drew 0-0 with Leicester. As I say, that game's got going to replay, and I believe that's being televised. Jamie Vardy in the side, unfortunately. Apparently, he had a groin injury. I'm sure he'd love to have played in that game. And I saw the fans wanted him to play as well, the Fleetwood fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he's a big player for Fleetwood, big part in their success in getting out of the and going up the leagues and non-league. It would have been nice to see him play, but obviously injuries is sod's law. Leicester aren't going to risk him for that. I know we're obviously criticising Leicester for not playing a strong team, but I wouldn't expect them to do that in any game where it's a risk of player's injury. I think that's pretty realistic in the FA Cup there, but you're not going to risk players' injuries. But it was a shame. But full credit to Fleetwood as well. But they were excellent. A bit like Shrewsbury West Ham. I think they'll still be grateful to go back for a point there. I really thought there was definitely a blatant back pass in that game.
And I think this is one where definitely, I don't know how the ref's not given it, because it's a blatantly trying to hit it back to the keeper. His full intentions to pass that ball back to the keeper. So it doesn't matter if the keeper's out of position, he's overhit it. That's obviously happened. The intention was still to play the ball back. So I know that the keeper's handballed it. So it's a back pass scenario, in my opinion. The intention is to play the ball back. Therefore, it's a back pass in the indirect free kick in the area.
Mm-hmm. A couple of hard luck stories. Firstly, Derby County went to Old Trafford, which I was at. Put up a decent performance. Lost that game 2-0. Two late-ish goals from United to win it. But also with Derby, I noticed that Scott Carson's been named Player of the Month in the Championship, and also Gary Rowett as boss. It's a great run of form, and I'm sure the fans aren't too bothered about going out in the FA Cup.
No, and I think that's sort of almost when you're a team like Derby in the Championship chasing promotion, it's almost the perfect tie. It gives the fans a nice evening out. I'm sure the fans have really enjoyed themselves at Old Trafford. They didn't know the result. They'd have loved the result, but then going forward, as you said it yourself, now they can fully concentrate on the league. They've had the night of glory, full focus now on the league. And Gary Rowett's done an excellent job there. Not surprised to see him linked with the Stoke job. Because I think it's a credit to the job he's done. Well, him personally at Birmingham, and now even before that, Burn Albion. Derby's done great wherever he's gone. And Scott Carson there made some great saves in that game, didn't he? So,
yeah.
I think he's having a great season with Derby as well, Scott Carson.
There's talk about him potentially having an England recall as well.
I'm not a fan of. I don't think him or Rob Green should be touched by England again. So.
Well, there was one Championship keeper who was called up. The Norwich keeper, Angus Gunn, he got called up earlier in the season. So, yeah. I guess. It's like you were saying about going back to the past. It's probably not. It's probably best to look to the future more.
Well, I just don't want to. I think if you make severe cock-ups like they did, Rob Green and Scott Carson, they should be banned.
Ban Rob Green and Scott Carson.
there's a name for the show.
That's the name of the show. also, Wimbledon. Wimbledon, I thought, were a bit unlucky playing against Spurs. They held out for about an hour, and then Spurs got a few goals. Harry Kane turned on the style, and it was I thought it was a bit of an injustice to Wimbledon, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, and it's a tough one, isn't it? When obviously you got one of the best strikers in the world coming off the bench scoring goals for Tottenham against yourself, so you're going to struggle. But no, I mean, Wimbledon really struggling in League One at the moment, so I know they lost, but it could hopefully do themselves a world of good, giving everyone a bit of a smile on the face, having a nice day out at the biggest stadium in the country. So I think whilst they lost, it could be hopefully potentially a turning point of the season, in the sense that they've gone to Tottenham, they've given them a good game, and hopefully it just gives everyone a bit of a boost. And that they can go to these places and play good football. Mm. And you just like to think, hopefully they can use it now going forward as a bit of a confidence boost to them.
Yeah, no, it's a very, very competitive League One, especially at the bottom where it places. It's extremely tight, that table. Just a couple of managerial changes I want to mention in the Championship. Firstly, Gary Monk sacked as Middlesbrough boss. Tony Pulis coming in. You think it was harsh on Gary Monk?
Gary Monk, I think I was surprised, but clearly they've obviously, with Middlesbrough, I don't blame them in the slightest. They obviously had Pulis looked at, given how quickly the appointment was, and they obviously thought, well, if he's available, we might as well get him in. And I don't really blame them. Obviously, it's they want to get back up into the Premier League. Monk's obviously, whilst he hasn't done a terrible job there, they wanted to snatch Pulis while they can, and I don't really blame them in the slightest. Yeah, it's slightly harsh on Monk. I'm sure he'll get another job in the Championship. But whilst I have a bit of sympathy, I don't blame the Middlesbrough board for doing what they've done there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes complete sense. I think Middlesbrough were everyone's tip to win the league, or certainly be top two. And as it stands, they're eighth in the league. So, yeah, and Tony Pulis being available, you'd be mad not to sign him up, really.
Sure.
The other managerial change, Sheffield Wednesday, Carlos Carvajal was sacked. I think we spoke about that in the previous show in December. But Jos Lehoucke's come in, who's a Dutchman. He's not managed in England before, but he's managed at various German clubs. And he got asked about the English football, and he just said football is football. It doesn't matter what country you're in.
Fair play. Yeah, no, pretty good mentality. Carlos Carvalho, I think he's done a great job as Sheffield Wednesday, but I think he's probably as far as he could. He's obviously got another job in the Premier League now as Swansea, and all the best to him. I hope he does great there, because he's proven he's done. I hope he does do well at Swansea. But no, Sheffield Wednesday appointment, like it always is when you employ someone who hasn't managed in the English leagues, always a risk. It can come off or it cannot go off. So they've obviously taken a risk. It might go well. It might not go well. I don't think, obviously, again, like we're saying with Forest and Norwich, they're probably, I think even that, they're probably closest to the relegation zone. So, Sheffield Wednesday there. So, no, I don't think that's going to happen. But no, it's just a case of what they can do for the rest of the season. And almost suss out if this is the man that can take the board, if they've got confidence in him. And then if it doesn't really work out, they have got the option in the season to potentially get a new man in.
Mm-hmm. And the FA Cup fourth round draw. Couple of the big ties which are on TV are Yeovil v Man United, Newport have got a home tie against Spurs, and also Cardiff or Mansfield will play Manchester City. Some great ties there, Yeovil, Man United in particular, which was first pick for the telly, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. Yeovil United, that'll be an excellent show. Yeah, it's on the BBC on the Friday night game. I think that would be blatantly the obvious one. No, that'll be an excellent game. Really, really good. It'll be a packed crowd at Jewish Park. And Yeovil, again, it's for, they've obviously had a great season. I mean, they only had five. I think they had every player who was fit to play for them. Well, but they could only name five subs because so they didn't have the option. They had to name everyone who was available to play in the squad. So, no, full credit to them. And it'll be a great night at Jewish Park, regardless of the result. They'll have a sellout crowd. Manchester United come down, the great Fred one who lives in that sort of part of Somerset, and no, it'll be a very good evening for the football club, and they're live on the BBC. It's just what the cup's all about, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if Yeovil get a replay as well, because Man United recently, I mean, going to Bristol City and losing, they went to Cambridge recently and only drew 0-0 away. I could see Yeovil possibly forcing a replay, which, you know, would be great for them financially.
That's what, yeah, exactly. That's what they've cut. Again, with the FA Cup there, it can sort of almost make clubs in the season, especially, I know we say it's about non-league, but also for a club like Yeovil, League 2, it would 100% make their season. If they can do it, the money they'll get will be brilliant. Mm. And yeah, they can force a replay. What a night that would be for Yeovil if they can go up to Old Trafford in an FA Cup replay.
All right, just to finish, I just want to mention, obviously, it's January, so the transfer window's open. Alex Pritchard's left Norwich. He's gone to Huddersfield in the Premier League. I saw as well some talk on Twitter that Andre Silva, who's at Milan, might be joining Wolves in a £42 million deal. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but it seems like he might be in talks, which is a ridiculous fee for a Championship club. Any transfers caught your eye that have happened so far?
I think, yeah, I saw the one about Silva. That's insane, isn't it? But the word money laundering springs to mind. But no, nothing really as of yet that's caught my eye massively. I've seen a few rumours. Big rumour of the John Walters going to Sunderland. I think that would be a very good sign for Sunderland. They're going to need, obviously, a lot of bodies in Sunderland, but the state they're in. And I think players like John Walter, very experienced striker, I think he'll score goals to keep them up. And they're also after that Woodburn. One, Chris Coleman, obviously, he's managed at Wales. There's a few big championship names, but yeah, nothing major has caught my eye yet. But I say the ones that Sunderland are linked with, I think, are very sensible signs that they can get them in.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the next show, we'll be reviewing all the transfers. I assume anyway.
Sure.
What was I going to say? Oh yeah, all right. Yeah, just one final thing I want to mention before I finish the show. I just want to thank a few listeners who listened to our December show on Christmas Day. So thank you for making us a part of your Christmas. Now we've reached the end of the show. Thanks for joining us. You can follow us on Twitter, Ant Kendrick and Nick Davey, both with underscores. Check out our website, v2football.com. Also, thanks to my guests, Tim Flowers and Catherine Lehigh. Really appreciate having both of them on. You can also follow her at Cat Perko. Tim Flowers doesn't have Twitter, unfortunately. Thanks for joining me. It's goodbye from me and goodbye from Nick.
Good night.